Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today, we have a summary of Cancelled with Tana Mongeau and Brooke Schofield. In this episode, the hosts discuss their recent experiences with Patreon and the excitement surrounding their upcoming shows in Berlin, Oslo, and Paris. They also explore the idea of performing for troops stationed in Berlin, highlighting the unique connection between entertainment and service. Remember to follow us on X and Instagram and on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
But
yeah, we started a Patreon, but then we decided that it wasn't a Patreon anymore. It's an episode. So now we're in an episode.
Before we get into today's episode, we were just discussing this off camera. And once again, we want to say 5-2 will be in Berlin, Germany.
My favorite of them all.
Least sold. which Ray, my security, was just saying that he was in the military, which I didn't even know, and was stationed in Berlin, and they would always promote shows of when American acts would come to Berlin at the military bases. And I'm like, how the fuck do we get in on that?
I'm obsessed. I feel like there's a Pitch Perfect about that.
Like, how cool would that be to do just like a canceled show for our troops?
I feel like that, like, we're supposed to respect our troops, and like the last thing that we should be doing for them is like whatever we do.
You're actually so right. Like, they would probably end the show and be like, it could be
after
healing.
Everything they've done for us, we're gonna repay them that way.
But then maybe their takeaway is like, wow, I'm excited to go back to the base. Like, maybe if anything, we'll give them a newfound excitement to go back to the
You're
base.
Right. Or they'll remember what they're fighting for.
Belfast, UK on 5/5. New show in London on 5/11. Manchester, new show on 5/15. And second show added in Amsterdam on 5/18. And so many of those shows are added shows because of things selling out. So obviously just thank you guys so much. But Berlin, Oslo, and Paris, listen, we're learning our markets. We might never come back is kind of the takeaway here. Maybe there's not much of a demand. So maybe that's like a selling factor. It's like, ooh, like one and only. Ooh, you know? Okay. Very excited to discuss getting Eiffel Towered while under the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, that's poetic.
Isn't it? I forgot to bring this up on the main episode, and sometimes God works in mysterious ways, like with memory here, okay? Uh-huh. Because I wrote it down as a topic because it absolutely cannot not be a topic. Oh, Brooke, you're going to die. You're actually going to die. So as you know, I recently reinstated my Depop.
No.
Okay? And mind you, this is after all that shit I talked about Alyssa Violet as well. Like, even coming back to Depop was very much giving the energy of like, hey, hey, how y'all doing? And I wasn't really talking shit about being on Depop. It was just funny. Alyssa Violet kind of coming at defending Jason Nash with the galaxies and then selling the dresses and just the long captions. And she was coming at people's necks. There was much more to it than just like her being on Depop, whatever. But obviously, I come back to Depop, and my goal is for everything to be running, you know, tight ship. I hired an entire girl on salary just to run the Depop. Like, it is her one and only job. Like, I've been going back and forth with her to make everything perfect. The mailers, the items, I'm making her double check, triple check, just quite literally everything. Because the last thing I want as Tana Mongeau in 2025 is a fucking Depop scandal.
What'd you do?
You saw my closet clean out video. Telling me you were watching it. Thank you for that. I'm going through my purses. I'm just grabbing shit off the wall. I'm not thinking twice, left, right, up and down.
What was in there?
I sold someone a faux Bottega. No. I sold someone a fake Bottega bag. And like, there's so much wrong with that. I sold someone a fake fucking Bottega bag. I'm going to kill myself.
But for fake prices or real prices?
No, Brooke. Okay, I want to talk you through it. I'm not even like a DHgate girly, okay? I buy and I swipe. I buy real bags. Like, if I totaled up the amount of fake bags in my closet, it is under 3. Like, truly, I'm not gating it up. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying now my public perception is going to be a gate girly.
No.
And I'm like, I drop racks. Like, I'm literally pissed. And now that I rapped, I'm just saying things like, I drop racks again.
Yeah, I almost clocked it, but
no, I'm serious. Even just the whole day as I was going to Rap Hefner, I was like, cash come in lumps. Like, I've been talking different again now that I'm a rapper again. Anyways, and kind of rapper of me, I guess, to have a fake Bottega. But I bought it in Italy with Mads. And I know that now. Like, I just wasn't thinking about it. Again, I don't think of myself as a girl from the gates. And we bought it from this bag dealer. Like, I just, and I paid like a hefty price for it. But just looking back, like, he came to your hotel room and spread them out on the floor. No shit. Like, just whatever. And the bag, I carried it everywhere. Even just thinking it was real as
well.
What
does it look like? What's the bag?
Like, think the first Bottega bag you ever could think of. Like, woven. And like, black little top handle, tiny.
Uh-huh.
And I sold it for $400 because it was beat to smithereens. I would carry it everywhere thinking I have this real Bottega bag. And then the guy went and got it appraised at Bottega. And imagine just like, you know, he told the person in the store and like just getting it appraised and it being fair. I have no choice but to literally end my own life.
What did you do? How did you handle this situation?
Refunded him fully. Commented that I'm an idiot. He made TikToks about it. Which sucks dick for me. And just trying to rebrand. Obviously, I'm like so sad this is happening. Like, it is so against my rebrand, but I'm not hating on him at all. If I bought something from an influencer on Depop and it was fake, I would feel like I hit the gold mine. I would make a 37 part series about it, you know?
100%, but holy shit.
And you know,
shit.
Alyssa Violet is somewhere just fucking eating this up like bolognese, bitch. Like, I can't even hate. Like, I am an idiot.
Wait, honestly though, there's a lot of worse things that can happen, because when you said you were going through your purses, I'm thinking, what did you
vial
sell
of coke
inside that? Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me a lot, where I would put a Depop bag in the pile and then like I'd be about to fall asleep and remember that there was like a Molly capsule in the bag and I'd like go get it out. I think, and I don't even want to say it because now I'm inciting people to go check things that I've sold them, but I don't think I've ever sold anyone anything with anything in it. Oof. Which is good.
I have a question. Is Depop like really that profitable for you?
You know what's funny is I that's not what I thought your question was going to be, so then I had an answer that I thought you were gonna say, is Depop really like authenticated like that? And I actually just bought a fake Miu Miu bag on Depop. Like, I paid the real price and it got there and I was like, this is fucking fake.
How'd you know? Did you go? Wait, what bag was it?
You don't have to know.
No, you don't.
You know, like, I know.
Like, it's fake.
It's fucking fake as shit. And I paid like $800 for it.
Oh, shit.
So I guess it all karmatically works out. And I'm still going to carry it. Honestly, it's cute. And I'll add it to my fake bags.
Yeah. My question is it profitable? Because I ask this because I see it actually like kind of often with influencers and their Depops. I'm not saying yours, but like, I'll see someone post like, first of all, like shoes that are like literally like they have holes in the bottom and they'll sell them for like, you know, like $8. And I'm like, you had to ship that out. Like, I don't understand how it's profitable.
Well, I have items right now, for example, for sale on my Depop that are all authentic. I'm literally livid because now there's just like everything else. Like, I promise you, I don't buy fake shit. So I'm just so pissed. Like, I bought a Balmain sweater for like $1,000 that I've never worn. So I'm selling it for like $800. I have like Jason Voorhees sneakers that are huge in the hype beast community. Drake knocked on my Pick Me era. Like, I do have a lot of things that like are worth a decent amount that like I just know no longer want.
Okay.
And I sold one fake Bottega bag and I refunded him. I think he's still mad, which sucks because I'm like,
sucks because it's like only because he took it to get like authenticated or whatever the word is. Did he ever find out? And had he not, he would have just been walking.
I guess that's true. That's true. And like, I obviously I don't want to like scam anyone out of anything and everything else. Once again, I bought from the store.
Really, like, sucks though that like that of all people, like no one else is taking it to get authentic. Like you sold it to the one wrong person.
Yeah, which is so fucking funny. And good on him. I'm happy, like truly happy that he got refunded. Like, I would never want to do that to people. But I also buy all of my bags in person in the store. Like, I can't stress it enough. Like, this is the only time in my life I ever was like in Italy, just drunk and like bag dealer and whatever. And I carried that thing around with pride. But I mean, this is how we all find out.
You can't win them all. And it could be worse. You could still be selling bright yellow chaps on there.
We might see some. It is still crazy, some of the things that are making it to the Depop. But we are closet cleaning out. And it's, I swear to God, everything else I bought in the store.
Honestly.
And it just in 2025, it's like, and truly like this, I feel like things like this have happened to me. Like, just will keep happening to me, honestly. Where it's like, I'm taking all measures. Like, I literally have a girl on salary, like cleaning everything fucking twice, like taking good photos, making sure like nothing is fucked up, pricing things accordingly if they have anywhere, like all of the things. And like, it'd be one thing if I like bought a bunch of fake bags and I would have to differentiate to her. Like, yeah, truly, it's like,
you didn't even think about it.
It just would, yeah, it just would fucking happen to me.
It's
fucking,
okay, but it's, you know, every time I do something really stupid, my grandpa says, well, you'll never make that mistake again. Or anytime something really bad happens to me, like I get robbed or something, he's like, okay, well, it won't happen again.
The previous conversation revolved around the challenges of selling authentic items. Next, the focus shifts to the intriguing world of celebrity culture, particularly the dynamics of reality TV and its impact on public perception.
I'm going to go secondarily marrying the cardboard cutout. Like telling everyone I'm actually getting married. She had the whole internet like on the edge of their seat, like who she married.
I was into coming out as a chicken nugget. I was into that. And I was into her celebrity Big Brother era, especially because I'm a Big Brother super fan. I want to start, I'm genuinely serious. Like, I want to have a side podcast where I like only talk about game shows.
You should.
And have people, like, I'm not kidding. I have like people to me are like the biggest celebrities in the world.
Like a Rob from Survivor.
Yes. Like, yeah. Boston Rob, like, they are the biggest celebrities in the world to me. And like, it sucks that I can't even talk about you or them to you.
You can.
Like right now, the season of Big Brother that we're watching is like.
Is it the JoJo Mickey Rourke one or no?
No. I don't think that's.
What a crossover. I can't get over that.
I know, that's crazy. He got kicked out of the house finally.
What was the final straw? Like, what were the things that
I don't
he was
know.
Doing
I'm surprised
mainly?
Because you would like on traditional Big Brother, like, it is very easy to get kicked off. Like, you can say like very little and get kicked off because they have like a zero tolerance policy. I cannot believe, maybe because it's Celebrity Big Brother, that he was able to just like get off with a warning the first time. Like, that's crazy.
That is wild.
But now he has since been kicked
off. What was he saying to even get off on the warning?
He was like, he called her like, I know, like a gay slur, but then he was also like just being so overly sexual to her, saying like, I could turn you straight. Like, after I got done with you, like, you would not be gay anymore. Like, and JoJo was like, you're 80.
And I'd be, and you're more gay. Fuck.
Yeah. I think that's what she said.
Ew, actually. That's disgusting.
It was really horrible. And I feel horrible for her. And then Bella Thorne came out and said that she also had a horrible experience.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And I like even just remember her talking about that at the time. It's dude. Bella Thorne needs to drop the fucking documentary of a lifetime. I'm sure she will. She's so talented when it comes to, like, you know what I mean? The things that she wants to do and she's passionate about. But like, she has just been through so fucking much in this industry, like, truly. And she's such a sport about it. You know what I mean? Like, just still wants to act and still, like, whatever. Like, if I had been through 1/10 of the things that she's been through in this industry from a child on up, like, truly such a strong woman.
Yeah, it's horrible. But good for her.
If you were to delete one memory out of your head, but only one, what would it be? That's kind of dark. Because if it's really only one, like,
I'm trying to think of like what my most embarrassing moment is, and I would probably choose that.
If I had to go like funny, I would delete that entire I hate people, I love them night.
No, that's my one of my favorite memories that I even have.
I just like, I'll never be able to say some of the things that happened that night. And it's crazy because I'm so open about like saying like, literally I got a gun pulled on me and I fell down the stairs and hit Kid Leroy and I did like all these things. But like the fact that there are things from that night that like I won't even write about in the book.
Yeah, that was dark.
Yeah, obviously, I guess if I could delete one memory from my head, it would be like just so many fucked up things. But like, I'm trying to think. What's a food or drink that goes straight through you, but you love it so much?
Oh, I have lessons that I just keep learning over and over and over again, but I just like, I don't care.
Every single time I eat Panera bread, broccoli and cheddar soup, it comes out of
really?
Me.
Really?
Exactly.
I have it in the fridge.
It went in.
I have it in the fridge. Right now,
the day that I shit myself on the pot, I ate that.
Really? Mm-hmm. What I will say is like, as much as we talk about shitting ourselves, like, I really do kind of have a stomach of steel. Like, I can eat just about anything and like pretty much be safe.
Same. Like, yes, I'll have like little issues here and there, but like even Taco Bell, for example, so many people struggle with. And I think it's like, if you train yourself from a very young age to eat those things, right? Like, you just.
That's an actual fact. Like, the same way that you learn to be lactose intolerant, like, we're not born capable of drinking cow's milk. Like, you're not supposed to do that. You have to build up a tolerance to that. So if you don't drink dairy or consume dairy for a really long time and then you have milk, obviously you're going to shit your pants. But if you have it all the time, like, you
like, can you just have a cup of whole milk? No problem.
No problem. I can fucking bite into a block of cheese. I'm like,
I do love a block of cheese. You know what? It's so weird because, like, if you put Hershey syrup in milk, I'm drinking it. Like, whatever. Don't care. So yum. But, like, a plain glass of whole milk is my worst nightmare. But also it reminds me of my dad.
I love it. I'm like a bowl of spaghetti glass of milk. Like, I would love that. Also, it's so funny to me that, like, cream tops are becoming, like, a viral trend because I'm like, that's literally whipped cream. And you guys are all having oat milk with a cream top that's, like, literally made of actual
That is actually milk. So fucking funny. Like, that's the most LA shit ever. Like, people are drinking oat milk drinks with a cream top.
Yeah, like, you're not lactose intolerant.
I saw all these people during Coachella this past weekend saying that if they weren't going to Coachella, they were just going to Community Goods every single day because there was no line. And how funny is that? Like, that it's just the exact same crowd.
Same thing with Erewhon. It's a ghost town. Someone posted it. Like, literally nobody's there.
That is, like, that has got to be studied.
Erewhon had a major health and safety violation.
What was
it? Santa Monica. Cockroaches in the tonic bar. Yeah. You heard it here first.
That's wild because, you know, the tonics were just still fucking $100 that day.
$1 million.
Like, that is so insane. Oh my God. I fucking, when I was dying so sick last week, I ordered a health and wellness shot from Erewhon that, like, is just
germ warfare.
It's called Germ Warfare. It's $20 fucking. Uber Eating Germ Warfare and a singular smoothie to my house was fucking $65-$70. You know what I mean? But I was dying, and everyone in LA, like, claims that this shot works like magic.
I think it makes you literally see God, and then when you see God, he, like, grants you a wish. And but the thing is, it's not the shot that's helping you. It's just the fact that it's so horrible, and it changes, like, your entire body chemistry so much that you forget yourself.
It is the most disgusting liquid I have ever ingested in my entire life, but I was completely better the next day. But I'm not kidding you. It felt for the next 8 hours like I drank bleach. I could taste it in my eyebrows, bro.
No, it's, I don't even like to think about it, but what's really, like, the most important part of it is oil of oregano, which you can take in a pill form. So like, take it in a pill form.
I could taste, I'm not even kidding you. I've never been able to be like, I feel what I tasted in the parts of my face. Like, it was so fucking disgusting.
Ew.
But it worked, honestly. How different will canceled international be?
I don't know. I'm hoping not that different. I feel like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I guess that's true. We finally got into a point where
tour.
What do you mean?
What do they mean?
I don't know. I mean, just all of it. I think it's going to be wildly different. I think I'm very nervous to not be bussing. I am.
Like, oh, I'm thinking, like, actually, like, the contents of the show. Like, I think it'll be, I thought, like, that was my,
I think this is our most self-exposing show yet in so many ways, like, yeah, just with footage too. Like, it's not like any of the things that we're exposing does not have, like, a photo to back it up and, like, whatever. And, like, I feel like you and I've had a lot of conversations. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but you are much bigger than I when it comes to feeling like you are leaving the stage with dignity, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was one story you were specifically telling. And it's so funny because if you asked me, my favorite story in the history of on stage on the canceled podcast, like, live tour, it would be this specific story you were telling. Can we say about who?
No.
Okay. About Nepo Baby.
Yeah.
And...
but I was saying his first and last name, and it just made me feel, like, so gross. Like, it wasn't even, like, a horrible story. Like, the story was, like, about something bad that he did, and, like, I shouldn't have felt bad about it, but for some reason, I felt, like, sick to my stomach every single time I came off stage, and I was like, I can't, like, live this way.
Even if you're telling a complete, just, like, utter truth about a different time of life where, like, you did something disgusting, you'll still walk off and be like, I can't believe I had to say that on stage. And I normally never feel that way. Like, I'm just very down to expose the shit out of myself, even if it's, like,
me
disgusting.
Too, but myself.
No, yeah. But I feel like even if you're telling a story about yourself, but it's, like, some crazy escapade you were on or whatever, you're still like, oh my God, I hate walking off with, like, no dignity. You know what I mean? And I don't, like, on the last tour, I'm talking about removing shit out of my ass with a Jeffree Star makeup brush, like a cake pop, you know? And it's like, I'm like, well, whatever, but the story that I'm telling on this tour, like, I'm so fucking ashamed of.
Is it the one I'm thinking of?
Yes, of course it is. It's, yeah, it's hell week.
That's
and
tough.
I am, like, just, I'm already, like, really dreading it. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't believe I'm exposing myself to, I need to write it so I just feel better. And, like, see if there's a way I could write it to make it really.
No, it was a different time.
I know, but, like, the fact that I ever did it, truly, like, I'll be 100 and be like, why the fuck did I ever do this thing during this week? Why did I ever act this way? And I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get it written in a way that really emphasizes how far I've come as a person. But even just societally, it is so not okay for women societally, unfortunately, to act the way I did. Like, it's, oh.
I mean, I'm not shaming you, but if I was going to shame you, I would shame you about this particular.
The previous conversation touched on the complexities of personal storytelling. Next, the dialogue shifts to the intriguing topic of goodbye sex, exploring its emotional weight and the implications it has on relationships.
Yeah. And hopefully, again, I can spearhead it in a way that, like, men have done this in 1,000 times. Like, you know, and I can spearhead a movement for women's empowerment. But good God, like, sometimes I think it's okay to call yourself a fucking disgusting whore.
Yeah.
And you nasty little slut. Go shave your bush, matter of fact, too.
You don't have to shave your butt. Bushes are...
I know, but I was doing shit bushed up that was just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if
the whole town saw the bush.
Yeah. No, and I'm not offended by what you said. I'm offended by my own actions. Someone said, is goodbye sex worth it?
No. No. Don't do it. If you're thinking of doing it, don't do it. And don't go back for any after goodbye sex ever.
I agree. I don't know though. Like, they're all,
for what?
But okay, no, it's not for anything with your relationship with the person, but sometimes it's the best ever because it's out of a movie. Like, you're Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, because you hate each other?
Shit. Yeah, or like, you know what I mean? Like, you know it's the last time, so you're like shedding a tear and like it's like poetic and like
It's not worth it.
And it's, I'm saying that in the moment it can be this poetic, passionate thing, and that's why I'm romanticizing it. But then how you feel after is just...
Yeah, like maybe if they're going to like war or something, but like if you're just breaking up, like no, goodbye sex is not worth it.
And I also do feel like a lot of girls find themselves in situations where you date someone and it's the best sex ever, but you can't be together. So then like you want to have it more as goodbye sex or whatever because you feel like you're never going to find it again. And I cannot stress enough that you will find the best sex ever with someone else who treats you right.
Yeah.
And that is true. Someone said, how do I go after my goals like y'all did with everything against me? That's kind of like a moving question. That is delusional belief in yourself.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, had I not been like just absolutely delusional, I probably wouldn't have wanted to. To be honest, I mean, such a stupid thing to say, but like I had like literally one movie that made me so delusional. I was like, oh my God.
The Greatest Showman.
I saw that movie and I just loved it so much that I was like, oh my God, like my life cannot be small. Like that's just not what I want.
I want to be in a circus. And I think that a lot of times in life when you are being so beat up by your surroundings, it's so easy to think that like, I'm never going to make it out of this because my surroundings are so bad. But I always tried to use my surroundings as such a motivating factor in the regard of like, I have to make it out of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like because I would rather fucking die trying than die here.
Yeah. I think that's true for a lot of people too. Like that's why some of the most successful people in the world have like very like a lot of adversity in their background just because it's like, it literally drove them out. So let it drive you out.
Yeah. And I think revenge and spite are a very, they're murky waters, you know, where it's like if you're doing everything out of revenge and spite, it's not a good thing. But at the same time, I definitely do remember, you know, being in like even just my house and like my parents really telling me like, you're never going to make it doing this or like losing friends because of it or just like whatever. Just even coworkers being like, bitch, pick up that extra shift. Like you're never going to make it like, and I used that so much like you motherfuckers will see. You know what I mean? I think that's important.
I just kind of think I'm going to have a gay son anyway.
I hope so with everything in me. Are you kidding me? But as I'm really thinking that I'm going to name my kitty Kaika, it's such a straight name.
Really? Yeah. I guess I've just never met an Ikaika, so I don't really have anything to like.
Just when you think Ikaika boy, Ikaika means strong.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like.
Gay people can be strong. I don't know what I just.
No, duh. I don't know. I just, when I think about me and Makoa having like a little boy named Ikaika, like I feel like he's like gonna like play football and shit. So then I'm rethinking that I have to name the son Vegas instead just to ensure that he has a little more glitz and glamour from the jump.
I've been thinking a lot about the fact that like your kids are literally probably like the single most important thing in your life. And like, I think it's crazy that right now we don't even know them. Like they literally don't exist. Like there's going to be a point where like that's the most important thing in the world to us. And like that's the majority of our lives. Like, and we just don't, they're not even born yet. We don't even know them. You don't think about that?
I've never thought about it like that. I like have always thought, yeah, like just that we don't even know them yet and they will one day.
I think about it even like your last name that you have right now, like that's going to be like a last name that you have way less of your life than the last name you marry into. Like oh my that's going to be your big body last name.
That is so fun. I've been like really wrestling with that thought just a lot lately. Am I going to change my last name? And people don't even know Makoa's last name, so they don't even know what.
Mm-mm. You definitely would have to like hyphenate your name.
Just but because, hyphening like, all of that together is like.
Yeah, but like, or even if you could change your name, but like your name is going to be Tana Mojo always. Like it's so important to you. Like.
It's
Trisha
so
Paytas Hackman.
Yeah, I guess that, but that sounds good to me. I don't know. I don't think mine and Makoa's last name sound. You can bleep it, but like Tana Mojo.
I don't think that sounds bad at all.
Really? I guess it is like
Paytas Hackman.
I guess his last name is also iconic.
Yeah.
Like it is like a good last name.
What if your kids are like have the biggest lives ever? Like what if you had this whole life and then you give birth to like Phineas and Billy or something and then your whole life is just so different than you ever imagined it. Like,
damn, I've like also never thought about that. Like I wonder if my kid will want to work in this industry.
Yeah, or your kid could be like the biggest like football player ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then your whole life is about football and like you have no interest right now in football.
That is so fucking wild.
It's crazy like how much we don't know about our own lives.
And like what if it is something that you just so can't wrap your head around? Like I'm imagining it's like.
What if your kid plays like cello and you spend the rest of your life going to like classical music concerts and like that's not one of your interests right now?
Yeah, how interesting. Oh my God. I never thought about that too. Like as a parent, like you might have to like really fake an interest, but I guess eventually you just get into
it. I know, that's why you have to like really condition your kids to do exactly what you would have wanted to do when you were a
child. Oh my God, and that's exactly what our parents tried to do with us. That's the thing is it's like so interesting because now I'm sitting here and thinking like one day I'd have a kid and I would so want to be seeding things into them that like I would want, but then it's like, oh my God, I was raised by narcissist and I don't even want an inkling of that.
Yeah, me neither. But I also like there's certain things like I really am so serious about not wanting my kid to play football. Like I really would not want my kid like anywhere near like a really
a CT
like
heavy moment.
Content. Yeah, contact sport or like a boxer. I always talk about that. But like
I know.
I want my kid to be like a dancer or a soccer player or a baseball player, preferably not baseball because like how boring, but like.
Oh my God. But there's got to be fun in all of it. Like the baseball moms have got to be fucking insane.
BB's baseball player texted her that he saw the podcast.
You said it. Your takeaway.
Is that the Dodgers watched the canceled podcast.
Which is just me in this shirt today. I'm like, hell yeah.
No, another one of the Dodger girlfriends like sent it to him. But like in my head, I'm like, how did he know it was about him? So I'm like, did she send it in a group chat of Dodgers and say like, who is going to claim this girl?
Yes.
Or I don't know. I'm running through all the options.
That really makes me feel better. Like even just the context, because it's so funny. Whenever I hear something like that, I immediately presume that the man came across it himself. And then I'm like, he's gay.
No.
And then it's like, no, duh. Like the girlfriends are always the ones sending it. Because every time that happens, every time, like even if Paige, like when she was dating that guy and then he like saw it, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
He watches. But it's like, no, there is a million other ways. If you ran into your old self in the club bathroom, what would you tell her? Oh my God. I would literally actually just like force her to drink water. I'm not even kidding. Wherever, just drink.
I'm trying to think of what my major problem was back then. I think I'd say like, whatever you do, like go wherever you need to go, like find Tana Mojo now.
But yeah, I definitely would really just be like heavy on less bumps.
Yeah.
Drink water. She would definitely have on emo boots.
But
and
you'd be
I would
like, this bitch is boring.
I know. It's so true. She would definitely have on emo boots and I would tell her that not only will the boots eventually not become the biggest part of her life, but everything that they encapsulate will not become the, like, you know, the lifestyle.
Yeah,
that
like
these
the
boots,
boyfriends, the boot boyfriends are going with the
yes,
boots.
Yes. And the boot lifestyle are going with the emo boots. Like truly just this will not be
like,
all of it.
You are going to go to your last emo night and probably not know it's your last emo night.
Oh my God. At one point I went to, no, I would go to emo night again.
No, yeah, I think so too.
I honestly would.
I would also say, please appreciate your boobs while you have them because they are about to go away and you're going to have to buy new ones.
Mm-hmm. try K-tip sooner. You don't have to have your tracks out. You really fucking don't.
Don't be blonde. You're not a blonde. You're not a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And dissolve your filler. You look like shit.
These promoters are not as fucking cool as you think they are at all. Yeah,
like that guy's going to jail soon.
Yeah, like- so soon. So soon. Value the girls and gays around you that you're out at the club with so much more than whatever you're trying to see at the club. You know what I mean? Your best friends. Like, they mean so much.
The conversation wrapped up with reflections on past selves. Moving forward, the dialogue shifts to humorous anecdotes about relationships and the unexpected lessons learned from exes and friendships.
Much more. You don't have to go behind the DJ booth. If you want to have fun in the middle of the club, you can. Like, just, it's not as cool as you think it is. At one point, you will not be speaking to Zach Bia as much as you think you are.
You know what my boyfriend called me the other day? Zach Labia. Yeah.
So. That is so good. It's insane. Labia tacos. Nope, just trying to go for birria. It didn't work.
So close.
God, I could like actually just keep going.
I liked that question. That was a good one.
You know what's fun? There was a point in my life where I genuinely was like, oh no, I should get another body. Like, you've done enough.
You've exhausted that. One is enough. And I don't want to say that. Two is too many.
Someone said, which one of your exes have you talked to the most recently? And I'm friends with all of them. It's nothing like that. Chris sent me a video the other day. I have to put this video. It's funny because you and I just talked about that Nobu Hotel trip.
Oh.
And this was a different trip, I think, at the Nobu Hotel. But look at this video of me that he sent me.
Oh, no.
Okay. Like, we have to put it in the podcast because it's like, if this is not a message that if you are sober curious to just fucking do it sooner. And I still look beat now and again. You know what I mean? Like, I look beat in like my own ways differently, but there is no type of looking beat like this. I hope I never look this fucking beat again in my entire life.
Oh no. First of all, we were doing something with the Botox then that we shouldn't have ever done. That's not even you. You don't look like yourself in any way.
You know what's funny, though, is so much of it has nothing to do with the Botox or filler. It's like truly how swollen I would be from drinking that much. 100%. Like, how funny is that? Like, I hope I never look like that again. And then it's funny. I was literally telling him that we were talking about the zinc story. And we were just talking about all of the hell that we put you through third wheeling us fighting. And we're both very sorry.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What about you?
I can't think of one ex that would ever speak to me, like, literally ever again in life. Ever. I can't think of, like, the one I talked to most recently was, like, the most recent one, just because, like, that's the last I talked to him. But, like, I never spoke to him again after he left that day. That's never even once. Like, never one time. And that's actually, like, something amazing I did. We don't talk about that enough. I, like, really was like, okay, bye, see you later. And I never talked to him again. That was amazing.
Which one? Oh, I like forget about it. I swear to God, I was thinking you were talking about Clinton.
No, ew.
That is really good that you just finally went fucking no contact with that man.
I was just like, bye.
Wherever he is, I hope he's having a horrible day.
He lives like next door to me. Never saw him again.
Thank God. Someone said, can you talk about Xanax or something or bleach and tones?
Sure.
Oh, I guess we're telling that story on stage about the first time I ever gave you Xanax, but whatever.
But like, do you ever think about the fact that like, bleep it, but like, you had to give me a Xanax because I was crying over
that is so actually crazy.
Like,
not girl, heaving, like heaving. I had to medicate you. I had to like make sure that your stomach was going to contract normally again. Like, you were heaving.
And now I'm going to marry like his friend. Like, seriously.
Oh my God. I wish you could do anything in the world.
Yeah. I wish I could go back and tell myself that.
Tell
you're barking. You're literally going to marry his tree.
You're literally going to marry his friend. That's iconic. That's hilarious.
I love you.
It's so funny how we are just dating the most chill guys possible.
Ever.
Like, they are just so fucking chill. There's nothing we could say or do to phase them at all.
No, sometimes I try just if I'm like feeling funky or something, or if I like want to start a fight.
Yeah, and it just doesn't work.
It just never sticks.
It is so crazy. That's one like tip of advice I want to say to all the girls out there. I feel like I dated so many people who would be cool with how I am, but then try to like doll how loud I can be, or you know how big my personality can be. And like, if you're a crazy girl out there, you will eventually find someone who is just obsessed with your fucking batshit personality.
Agreed.
Why is your mouth so big? Do you eat pickles sideways? Like, I'm fucking Ash Trevino. Like, so get off my Twitter.
That's a really funny question though.
Oh my God, someone said, are you ever getting the United Airlines story time? And I've never told it.
What's the United Airlines story time?
I had a bad flight on United Airlines one time. I'll make it like quick, but I do. I forgot that I filmed it like several times and never uploaded it. And it's just like, people love a bad airline experience, and that could be like a fun way to end this. And I would love to hear your take on if I were right or wrong, or if this lady was a cunt or whatever it may be, okay? I was flying to Hawaii and I had booked a flight, and I wake up the morning of my flight, it's canceled. Or remember when like no flights could take off, like whatever that flight like shortage was, or outage, or like whatever, like all, like there was no flights in the air for like the first time ever, and like whatever, all flights getting somewhere that ended up making all of the flights like thousands of dollars and just like all full and like whatever. And we needed to get to Hawaii for someone in Makoa's life's birthday or something. Like, we had to get there. So we like ended up paying so much money for like middle seats on United Airlines just to get to Hawaii. And then we get to the airport and we get on the plane and we're stuck on the tarmac for like 3.5 hours.
Oh, no.
And it is scorching fucking hot. We are middle seats, like 27B, and we're scorching, and they tell us like, if you want to get off the plane, like you're not on the flight, which is just crazy, right? Like, that is so diabolical,
right?
Truly, to say like either burn in 27B, you cannot get off. And mind you, also, I've just never understood that if the plane is going to be stuck on the fucking tarmac for more than an hour, people should be able to get off, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually,
but they, I think, offer it's like us, they don't know if you're going to leave or not, right?
Mind you, also, first class is fucking Arctic. And I'm just like, I'm livid about that as well. Like, just all the reasons why. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Then eventually they bring waters and Cheez-Its to the front of the tarmac for people to go get. But then obviously, just like everything class-wise, front of the bus eating cheesy good drinking water. By the time it got to us, there weren't any snacks. I'm fucking furious. They won't serve us drinks. This is at a time where I'm still drinking as well. So I presume it was like a crack of dawn morning flight as well. So I was probably withdrawing from alcohol.
Yeah.
So then I'm sitting there with like the shakes on the tarmac. Like, I was banking on being able to get up in the air and take myself back to alcoholic level homeostasis.
Uh-huh.
Finally, after hours and hours and hours, this flight takes off, and I'm sweating balls, and I'm just livid that I'd been on the tarmac forever, whatever. And then they end up like not bringing the service throughout to the flight, and I'm just, again, alcoholic withdrawing. I'm watching 50 First Dates. I'm scream sobbing, just like, and obviously that movie's sad and I'm always scream sobbing, but I think that a lot of the other factors, like the withdrawing and whatever. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm a mess. And finally, I walk up to Ashley, who is sitting like a couple rows ahead of me, and she gives me a Grey Goose shooter that she had in her purse. Okay. And I go back to my seat, and we'd already had this flight attendant who had just like, she was just like a bitch. I don't know. I would like, anytime I would ask her anything, like, hey, is there any water left? Is there anything? She had just like been a, and it was just like this whole thing where I was just already pissed off at this flight attendant for being such a fucking cunt. And then I take the Grey Goose shooter, and we're all just like sitting there, whatever. And then towards like, we're like 3/4 of the way through the flight, she comes and she collects our trash, and I hand her all of the things that are my trash. And the Grey Goose shooter is like in a bag, whatever. She starts like going through the trash. She finds the Grey Goose shooter, and she looks at me and she's like, United Airlines does not serve Grey Goose. And I'm like, okay. And I don't have brown hair, right? Like, why the fuck are you telling me this? Whatever. And she's like, it's illegal to drink your own alcohol on an airline. And she's like, we say that at the beginning. And she's being so condescending about it. And she's like, we say that at the beginning of the flight. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was fucking busy being in the fucking Sahara Desert.
I was thirsty.
Yeah, that I just couldn't fucking hear this, whatever. And so then she's like, we're going to have to call the front, and they'll be waiting for you when we land. So now I'm sitting there and I'm having a fucking panic attack. The lady next to me is like 65. We made friends over 50 First Dates, and they always go to Maui and whatever. The lady next to me starts jumping in, trying to like defend me, all of these things, like just help me. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. Like, I've already called them. They're going to be waiting for you
to land. Oh, what a boner.
And so we're flying over the fucking water. And it's still hot as fuck on this plane. I'm just pissed. I can't text my lawyers. I can't call anyone because there's no service. Like, a lot of times when you fly to Hawaii, there's no fucking service.
I would have just been like, it was empty when I got here. It was empty in my bag.
I don't even know what I was trying to say. Oh, I said like, we just came from Vegas. I had it. I didn't know. I was trying to play stupid that I like didn't know. And I really didn't like remember that rule, whatever. And so now I'm sitting there panicking and I'm like way towards the back. So she's sitting in the fucking back of the plane and she's watching me panic and I'm watching her watch me. And she's sitting there kikiing with her other flight attendants laughing at me.
That's it for today's summary. To stay up to date with more summaries and news, follow us on X and Instagram and visit our website podsummarizer.xyz. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or complaints about the content displayed, please do not hesitate to write to us at info@podsummarizer.xyz. Thank you for listening.